Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Pandemic hockey means unanswered questions. And yes, I hate the Canucks more than ever. Good evening. Welcome to episode number 80 of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. December 16th, 2020. And we got a good one tonight for you. We got a good show. I'm ready for some hockey. For some reason, I cannot wait to see the schedule. I don't know if that is the OCD in me or the planner that I am, but I can't wait to get my planner out, the schedule, and sit down and pencil in those nights where it's a big game or it's a really, really big game. I don't know. That's one of the things I look forward to the most when the schedule comes out. And usually it's in, what is it, June? Late June it comes out? It's all screwed up this year. Anyways, it's, I'm hoping it's my Christmas present. Wouldn't it be cool? Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, they release a schedule. NHL should think of that. That's a good idea. I don't know if it'll be ready by then or if all the questions will be answered. I was hoping that as we record this on a Wednesday evening, I was hoping we'd maybe have some more news. We're not having a lot of news. Now, the World Juniors are right around the corner. If we want Christmas hockey, we're going to get it. We hope. Will we have it? Team's quarantining. Looks like it's a go. I hope it's a go. I want it to be a go. And, we'll have that on Christmas Day to start. And it's Christmas. Can you believe it's Christmas already? I'm excited. I'm actually more prepared this year than any other year. We got the kids' gifts early. I'm ready. I'm ready for Christmas. I'm ready to relax and, have some family time and, enjoy things with, with the way things are, we might as well be happy and enjoy what we can, right? It's nice to be back for season two. This is our second episode of season two. We're in video. You can watch us now on YouTube. Subscribe at InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com. We're on YouTube and we got everything now. What else do we got? Flames Hockey Talk every week. Yep. We release shows every Thursday. And today's show. Let's talk about today's show. We will again update the layout of how the pandemic hockey will look and how will it affect the Calgary Flames and the whole Calgary Flames minor league and the main squad. It's going to affect everything. And it's going to be different to see how that all plays out and everything. And hopefully this week we'll get some more news. Then Blake Friars will join the show and we'll discuss the Flames-Canucks rivalry. And is that rivalry at its peak right now? We'll talk about the Flames' value as Forbes releases the franchise values. That's always interesting every year. And then the World Juniors, we will touch quickly on what Flames you can watch over the holidays in the World Juniors played in Edmonton. And then we'll go in the division and talk about the Canadian division. And in the listener questions segment, we will talk about the Canadian division and how the experts, how the analysts, and how the scouts think that division will go. And the answers shocked me. I have my predictions on how that division's going to go. But it was interesting to see what theirs was. It's an episode full of speculation and unanswered questions when it comes to NHL hockey. But what in the world do you expect? It's 2020. All right, Flames fans, let's talk a little bit about what the league's going to look like when we get hockey back and what the Calgary Flames are going to look like when we get hockey back. Roster sizes, that is one of the hurdles with teams having AHL franchise in the States and NHL franchise in Canada. It's going to be a crazy, crazy hurdle on how that's all going to work out. How many will they allow on the roster? Will they bump it up from 23 to 30? How will they work in the cap and how will that figure in? Will that benefit teams like the Leafs who spent money stupidly? I hope not. Calgary's in a little bit of a tight thing. We got a million to go. We got Shillington to sign, or another defenseman to sign, I guess, as rumors fly in the past week about that. What will schedule flexibility be like? You know, the NFL's done a pretty good job with being flexible and adjusting some games. I really hope the NHL, and from what I've heard, they are going to be building in dates to be able to fill in so it's not just crammed in at the end of the year. We don't know how this is going to go. It might go off without a hitch like the bubble, but I doubt it. I think we're going to have canceled games or postponed games, and I think things are going to have to get shuffled around. So hopefully with a 56-game season, and if we can somehow get it going on January 13th, maybe they'll be able to work some dates in to be able to sub in when circumstances require that the game be postponed. And another thing to think about is, what would require that? So if your star player's out, does that require? No, I don't think so. If it affects what, six players? Because the way it looks with roster sizes, I don't know how they're not going to do this without a taxi squad. But then, you know, you look at the pros and cons of having that taxi squad. How are they going to work the cap? How are these guys going to develop? How are they going to get ice time? How are they going to get meaningful games? Do taxi squads somehow practice before games with the other team's practice squad just to get some reps? I don't know. That's a off the harebrained idea I got there, but I don't know how else you're going to do this without getting them some reps and developing them, because I don't know why you'd ever put a prospect on your taxi squad if they're not going to be able to develop. But we also are facing the fact that maybe the American Hockey League won't be going, so how are they going to develop there? Now, the seven teams that didn't make the bubble situation last year in the playoffs, what do you do with them? What do? Do you let them start a week early? I don't think there's a week early to start like that. I think... too bad, so sad. You miss the playoffs. You come back this year and give it a go. I don't know that seven extra days of practice is going to help any of those teams. I think we don't have time to be messing with them right now. Let's just give them the green light like the rest of the league and see what happens. Now, opt out. Last year we had Travis Hamonic opt out of the bubble. How will the NHL handle that? Now, last year the players had been paid already, so when they opted out, the players still got paid. This year, you get paid as the season goes. So if you opt out, I don't know how in the world you could pay. And another question brought to me was, if a player opts out, do they count against the cap? So if Louis Erickson, I'm using him as an example because it's a bad contract. If Louis Erickson opts out in Vancouver, does that number come off the books? My bet is they won't have to pay him. They shouldn't have to pay him. But does it come off the books so that they can sign somebody else? And if so, our team's going to maneuver and set a long-time IR guys in questionable circumstances that we've seen in the past. Are we going to see teams pressuring players to opt out? I wouldn't put it past. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know how they'd talk a player into opting out if they're not going to get paid, though. But we'll see what happens there, and let's just hope and pray that players don't opt out. And the way I look at that is, there's no way we're coming back to hockey unless the NHL provides an environment that is safe. It's not going to happen. We won't come back to hockey without that. The rest of the world has had to go back to work for the most part. And we found ways to adapt, and some people have been successful avoiding the virus and some people haven't, and it's nothing that they've done. Anybody can get this who are in contact with people each and every day. When I look at an NHL player, they're probably in less contact than a Walmart employee. Think about that. The NHL is going to build a safe haven for these players to play in. And yes, there's going to be travel and there's going to be those things. But I don't know that opting out is, for a safety measure, is a defense. Now, I know certain players have certain circumstances in their life that may require it, and I respect that. But these shouldn't be treated differently than any other jobs, and owners shouldn't have to foot the bill for that then. Critical dates, like I said, I'm a planner. I want the schedule to come out. I want to see if January 13th is that that day. I want to see the first night we play Edmonton. I want to see the first night we play Vancouver. I want to see if we go to the schedules that they've been talking about, where teams play 2 and 3 game sets with their opponent in one rink. How fun would a Thursday, Saturday, Sunday bout with the Edmonton Oilers at the Saddle Dome be? And in the next weekend, a Thursday, Saturday with Vancouver in Vancouver. You guys, this Canadian division is going to be off the charts. It's going to be fun. I want to see when trade deadline is. I want to see when the playoffs start. I want to see how they're going to hold the draft next year. I want to see the expansion draft and if they tweak any of the rules to that. It's all being discussed right now. I'm not real happy with the delays of late. I'm a little worried in the last couple of days that this is going to get pushed back. How are teams going to trade players? What if Calgary trades somebody to the New York Islanders? Does a player have to quarantine for 14 days? Is the Canadian government going to give exceptions based on the protocols that the NHL is using? I don't know. Those are all unanswered questions. And there's a ton of them. There's a boatload of questions that need to get answered before we play hockey. How is it? We got to get going here. I mean, we literally have to have an announcement by the 19th for quarantine periods to work with the January 3rd starting of camp. And that's what it looks like it's going to happen, is that January 3rd will be the start of training camp. And that is not official by any means. That is what's being reported as of now. And Bettman did kind of hedge today that maybe the 13th isn't going to work. Training camp's going to be a lot different this year. It's not going to be your typical training camp. It's going to be made up of players from NHL, AHL, and some junior kids, and plus some PTOs. I think there's going to be a lot more PTOs this year to fill in those, the practice squad per se, or whatever you want to call it. I think that's going to be really, really different this year. In normal years, teams would bring in 50 plus players. Calgary had 53 in camp last year. I looked it up. There's no way. This year, I would say they have 32 tops. It's going to be a different camp. They're also talking about no preseason games. Zero preseason games. I don't like that. I want one. We had one before the bubble, or in the bubble before the playoffs started, and I thought that was good. We played Edmonton. I thought it was good. I thought one was, suited our needs, and I was good with that. What's going to happen in the American Hockey League? How is Stockton going to start? How are they going to transfer players back and forth over the border? It's not going to happen. If you get sent to Stockton this year, you're going to be in Stockton all year. If you're up, you're up. But the thing is, and the part that scares me is these taxi squads. If you put a younger player on one of these taxi squads, how in the world are they going to get playing time to advance them and to grow as a player? I think if you see a young player like a Glenn Godden make the, I predict a 30-man roster, I don't know, we're probably going to see him playing a lot. We're probably not going to see him sitting back. We'll probably see less Zach Rinaldo. We might even see less Milan Lucic. Which, having this 30-man thing might be a blessing to hide some contracts, maybe. I think it's going to mean more veteran PTOs where they sign on at that $700,000. And if they're on the taxi squad, I don't know what they're going to do with salaries there. But owners are not going to be able to add 6 players and $1 million each and just eat that. So they're going to have a different salary if they're in the roster or not in the roster that night. I don't know how that'll all work, but that's what the league's got to pound out here in the next week. When is Stockton going to play? I've heard that that's a February start now. How much of a season can you get in with a February start? The Western Hockey League announced today that they're pushing back from their January, I believe it was 8th, starting date. Man, you start a season in February, you guys. How many games do you play? Don't we have to get this back on track for next year? We can't play hockey into July, can we? These junior leagues can't play hockey into July. They can't be playing while we draft them. Well, I guess they could. But don't we need a reset? Don't we need to get things started back up next year normally, hopefully with fans? NHL has also said that in markets that will allow some smaller-based fan groups to go to games, with the league will allow that, and I think that's a great idea. You're seeing that in football, and it's working. You're going to see it in basketball when that starts here in the next week. I don't know. I don't know what I feel. If you told me that the AHL doesn't play this year, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I would actually put money that they don't play. That is more. You think the NHL's gate revenue driven? The AHL is completely gate revenue driven. They're not going to have a gate. How in the world are they going to play? How about the ECHL in Kansas City? Where do we go there? They started last weekend, and right off the start, Kansas City's got their fourth string goalie in because the first three have COVID or have tested positive or are in COVID protocol. We're going to see this in the National Hockey League. You're going to see in the taxi squad probably three or four goalies on an NHL roster this year. Teams will probably be signing players, goalies, just to fill in those roster spots in those emergency situations. Another thing to think about is immunization. With that starting in Canada and in the States, and sources reporting that the NHL is planning on buying, privately purchasing COVID vaccine for all its constituents involved in the process of playing game, whether it be staff and players, and immunizing everybody. If that's the case, I mean, and the vaccine works, we're in good shape. But how do you look at Canada and the States and society and say, yeah, well, we're going to give it to these guys because they're professional athletes and we want to get these games going? I think that would fly with some of us because we understand it's entertainment and it's mental healing for a lot of people and would fill time and give people joy and happiness. But try selling that to a non-sports fan. That's a pretty crappy look, isn't it? Because right now, if they told us that we're going to give actors and actresses the immunization first in front of everybody else because we need entertainment for movies, us sports fans would say, well, what the hell? That's not right. So if you look at it from both sides, I don't know how that's right. And what about players who don't want to take it? There's a big push in the U.S. to not take it because we don't know. Do we know enough about it? Is it safe? I mean, we would guess it's safe. But the same people that are telling us it's safe also told us that wearing a mask was right, then it was wrong, then it was right, then it was wrong, then it was right. They also told us that COVID lives on countertops for 4 days. And then they've retracted that. Well, hell, how do they know it was 4 days? They had to do a study. Well, now we've deemed that study inconclusive. What happens with the studies on these vaccines? Now, I know that's a worst-case scenario, and if it was handed to me tonight, I probably would take it. But those are all topics that need to be thought about because there is going to be players that aren't going to want to take it. And you can't tell them you're taking it or you're not playing because we don't tell players that they have to have the polio vaccine or they don't play there's a whole bunch of different vaccines. I'm drawing a blank on them now, but we don't preclude them from playing because of those. And what makes that one different than this one when there's actually higher death rates on that one than this one? I don't know. It's a sticky situation. And I do think that this league has their work cut out for them. And they have a ton of work to do before an announcement of January 13th. And if you look at your calendar, we're on the 16th of December. That's less than a month away. 14-day quarantine periods. Oh, man. They are going to be working through the holidays at NHL and NHLPA because if we're going to play on the 13th, they're going to have to get this figured out. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, Blake Fryers from the Debate Hockey Podcast, Canucks fan, been on the show numerous times, got him on the show again to talk about the Vancouver-Calgary rivalry. And is this rivalry getting bigger? And how he feels about the Canadian division. Blake, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Let's talk about this Vancouver Canucks and Calgary rivalry as it's had its ups and downs over the decades. I've got my opinions on what I think the rivalry is now and is going to be, but let's start off with some all-time records. And this surprised me a little bit today when I pulled this up, but the all-time record between these two teams is 140-98-26-17 shootouts, all those things. Calgary leads it. 140-98. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. During the West Coast Express days, I think Vancouver had Calgary's number a lot. Mm-hmm. And then probably from 2000, well, Vancouver went through that rebuild, right? And Calgary was a pretty good team the last few years.
We went through the rough 90s.
Probably, 90s. They probably owned us a little bit in the 70s too, maybe the early 80s. Definitely the late 80s, definitely probably had, Vancouver's number, but from 2013 to present, I think Calgary's probably had Vancouver's number a lot. That's just because Vancouver hasn't been a very good team, but, both, franchises are on the upswing, right? Both, really good franchises right now.
I hope so.
And, hopefully it's a kind of rivalry reborn.
Calgary holds a postseason record 21-17. I can't remember the last time.
2015
was when Calgary upset Vancouver. Last season, do you remember the record last year? Because I had to look it up. I thought I knew it, but I was wrong.
I want to say Calgary won 2 of 3.
Yeah, they did. Calgary won 2 of 3, and but some good games, some really really good games, and I expect that.
The one win I was at.
You're right. That was a shit kicking.
That was, we won 5-2.
Yep. And then we came back and took it to you really hard in the third game of the year, and physically tore you down pretty good late in the year.
Petey got hammered quite a bit. I remember watching him. That seems like 2 years
ago. Doesn't that seem like a long time ago?
Yeah, it does. When was that? The game I went to in Calgary was, December 29th. It was right after Christmas.
Yep.
I went up there and Canucks chased Talbot in the first period. They went up 3-0. Tyler Myers had 2 power play goals. And I was like, what the hell's going on here? But, Thatcher Demko played that game. Markstrom was, away, his dad died. He wasn't on the team.
That's right.
It was Demko and DiPietro were there. So, yeah, Demko played really well that night, and Vancouver won 5-2. It was a really good hockey game.
So, when you think back, Blake, at this rivalry, and you look at the history of these two teams, name two memories that really stand out in your mind of these two teams, and I'll give you my two after you're done.
Yeah, I wasn't very old, but I remember watching that Game 7 in 2004. When Matt Cook scored 3 seconds left in the third period to tie the game, force overtime. And, I remember vividly, like the Calgary chipped it out and a Vancouver Canucks fan threw their jersey on the ice and the ref picked it up and they went down and scored, tie the game. And Ed Jovanovski's in the penalty box jumping up and down going nuts. They scored shorthanded. Well, it would have been 5-on-5 with the goalie pulled, but. Yeah, then, Jerome Iginla, or no, maybe it's Martin Jelena. Martin Jelena or Iginla scored in overtime, beat Alex Auld. It seemed like Martin Jelena had a lot of clutch overtime goals.
He did. That's all he did for us.
In the early 2000s. He did it for the Canucks in the 90s too. He was a good player. But yeah, that's probably one that sticks out. Another one, not a very good one in 2015 where we up 3-0 in the playoffs or game 6. And lost 7-4. I mean, that's a game that's not going to be erased from my memory till I die.
I lived it this year when we lost to Dallas. So,
that's the exact same thing. Because I remember I texted you. I said, this game's over. And then when they came back, I texted you. I said, I'm so sorry, bro.
What did I say to you though? When you
said, not a chance. This is over. I was like, I'm sorry.
I told you it was not over.
The first thing I thought about that was like Calgary, Vancouver, where we blew a 3-0 lead and lost 7-4. I was like, that is literally identical of what that was.
I know, but I told you, you text me and you said 3-0, this is over. I said, no, it's not. I think I said, I won't be safe until we have 6. And little did I know that still wasn't enough.
Oh man, jeez.
My biggest memories of Vancouver, Calgary, two that really stand out.
Pavel Bure's goal is probably one of them.
Pavel Bure's goal in overtime on Mike Vernon stood out. I hated the Canucks. I've always hated the Canucks, but I just thought the world of Pavel Bure. He was such a dynamic player, so fun to watch, and really, really good. The other one that really stands out in my mind was the line brawl.
Yeah.
To start the game. And then Tortorella trying to get into the Flames locker room.
Yeah.
I so wish that he would have gotten into the locker room because who was it? One of the players on
Is Brian McGrattan.
Brian McGrattan said we would have locked the door and buried that guy in the garbage can.
Yeah. Yeah, that everybody on the ice was fighting except Luongo and Kerry Ramo.
That's right. It wasn't Kerry Ramo.
It was crazy. And I remember it was Callum Lane's first NHL game for Vancouver. You got to go up against Kevin Westgarth, buddy. Good luck. It's just crazy. Bieksa came in and took the face off for him because he knew that shit was about to go down. But yeah, that was crazy. Next thing you know, fucking Tortorella is pushing over the damn glass in the middle of all the benches, man. That was a time.
I'll never forget that game. That was just something.
I remember I was watching it downstairs. Me and my dad on the big screen TV, and me and my dad are like, holy shit, what's going on here? My mom's like watching a show upstairs. She's like, what child is this on? She wanted to watch it and stuff. But yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Unbelievable.
What year is that in? That would have been like 2013?
No.
2020? Well, Luongo was on the team. Luongo got traded in 14.
Yeah, it had to have been right at his last year then.
I think that was 14. I want to say.
I don't know. I might have to look it up after this because I want to watch it again on YouTube just because I remember it. I was just like.
Yeah. Hey, all the Rick Ball's like, I got a line ball to start this game.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was good.
Let's talk about the rivalry now. And I thought the rivalry last year was pretty good. But now, with the acquisition of Markstrom, Tanev, Levo, Domingue, does that amp this rivalry up?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be 100%. Canucks are going to try as best they can to burn their old teammates. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. And Markstrom's going to have a chip on his shoulder because he thinks that Vancouver didn't think he's worth that money. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Levo went over there. Tanev, he's going to have something to prove too. And it's going to be awesome. I mean, me being a Canucks fan, I hope we light up Markstrom every time we play him. I think Markstrom's a great goalie, but I want to beat Calgary. Well, I don't like Calgary.
I don't like Vancouver. And so, I think right now, with these these trades they weren't even trades, these signings, that, man, does this just turn the volume up on this rivalry? And as much as the Calgary-Edmonton one's off the charts, I don't know that this Vancouver-Calgary one doesn't reach the same levels. Only when I look at the Vancouver team, I just don't see any toughness at all. And is that something that I'm not a goon guy, and I don't want Calgary having a bunch of goons, but you still got to be physically tough. And if you look at that third game last year, I know we just said it seems like 5 years ago and it does. But the reason Calgary won, I think Vancouver is more talented than us. I just think we just wore down and abused you guys physically. And that's got to be a worry for you as a Vancouver Canuck fan.
Yeah. I think Vancouver's bottom six has got a lot of sandpaper to it. I think Tyler Mott's a really good player. Yep. Jace Howerluck could add some punch to that bottom six. He's a physical spark plug type player. Not saying he's going to go out there and fight, but he'll finish his checks in the corner. He'll be hardened on the forecheck. He's that type of player. Beagle, another heavy body. Sutter, depends. But Adler can still throw the big hit in the corners sometimes. You don't see it very much as you did when he was younger, but their back end is, they lost Flattenberg. He was a big physical guy. Ferland, who knows what this guy can do, but when Ferland's healthy, that guy's a difference maker, in on the forecheck and hard physical. I mean, you saw it against Vancouver in the 2015 playoffs. He was a one-man wrecking crew, right?
And, absolutely.
Unfortunately, he's just battled so many concussions. I honestly think this guy's going to have to hang him up.
Well, and I do too. And that's sad, but I don't know how he gets back to the level that made him successful in that series.
Because in order for him to be successful, he's got to fight. He doesn't have to fight, but he's got to be physical.
Yep.
He's got to be physical. He's got to hit people through the boards, right?
That's his game.
And when he's done that the last couple of times, he's had post-concussion syndrome. So it's tough. It's sad to see. He's still got 3 years left on his contract, which is unfortunate.
But we loved him in Calgary. I mean, it almost was the writing was on the wall.
He was on your top line.
Well, we weren't really good at that point either, but I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that he didn't belong on that line.
He scored, 20 goals that year?
But he, you know, when he played at his game, he was very good.
When you need
good.
A spark, you send Ferland out there to go drill a guy and get the fans into it, get the guys fired up on the bench. I don't think he's capable of doing that anymore.
I don't either. That's just too bad. You know, when you look at this matchup between Calgary and Vancouver, what do you think the Flames are stronger than Vancouver in is, and what do you think the Canucks are better at than Calgary?
I'd probably take Vancouver's forwards.
I would agree.
I would take Calgary's defense, and I think the goaltending's a wash. Don't get me wrong. I don't like David Rittich. I haven't been a big Dave Rittich fan. Markstrom's your guy.
Well, sure he is.
But like Demko, and I'd rather have Demko Holpe right now than Markstrom and Rittich.
Yeah, it depends on what we're gonna see.
It's a wash because like in a 48 game season,
it's not a wash.
Markstrom is starting 40 of those games.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be having a 56 game season. So,
it 56? Yeah. So Markstrom is starting 35.
He'll start more than that.
Maybe even 40.
I think he'll start 40.
He might even start 45.
No, with the condensed schedule, that's going to be almost impossible.
He's a horse though.
I know.
He always wants to be so Riddick's on his last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably how many games is Markstrom? Over under 40? I'd probably say over. I think he'd be over 40.
I don't know.
Because, he signed to be the guy. You didn't sign for him to split. You know what I mean?
No, so, I don't. I agree with you. I think 40 is the number.
In Vancouver's standpoint, it's probably going to be 30 to 26 for Demko.
See, I disagree. And I know me and you have talked a ton off air about this.
Like 30 to 26, that's basically splitting. But I think Demko will get a little bit more
starts. I think Holtby will get 35 starts.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, is Holtby the proven guy? 100%. He's won a Stanley Cup.
Let me go another line further on that. I think the Canucks are a better team if Holtby starts 35.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I fear them more from the Flames' perspective if Holtby starts 35.
Yeah, because, so 56, what's 56 divided by 6? That's 8, is it 8? What the
Yeah.
So each team plays each other 8 times. Yep. See, that's going to be crazy. That's like back in the early 2000s.
That's going to be...
You play your divisional point 7-8 times a year.
Let's talk about this. That is, to me, I think that's off the charts. That means that we're probably going to have... You know, two, three game sets.
A Canadian team is guaranteed to go to the conference final.
I'm for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But here's the deal. I think this Canadian division made things harder.
It's probably going to be the best in the league.
Entertainment wise, I think it'll be the best. I don't know if it's best quality teams. Entertainment wise, I agree. But you know, you look at this.
Okay, the only bad teams in this division is Ottawa. That's it.
It's Ottawa. You got
Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Winnipeg, right?
Yeah.
Those would probably be my playoff teams.
Say that again. You said Toronto.
My top three would be Toronto, Calgary, Vancouver. And then you got Winnipeg, Edmonton, Montreal in that middle of the pack. And then you got Ottawa at the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
You know what though? I don't know that Calgary couldn't finish first, or I don't know if they couldn't finish sixth. I don't know if Vancouver couldn't finish third or sixth.
Yeah, no,
it's all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean.
Do you believe
it's
this?
It's going to be awesome because me and you, for that instance, we're only used to seeing our teams play
four times a year.
Toronto, Montreal, twice.
Yep.
One home, one away. Now we're going to get four home, four away. It's going to be crazy. Like, it's going to be awesome.
How fun is it going to be to hopefully beat up on Toronto?
On the Toronto. I hope our teams do good against Toronto because I don't have no time for those guys. Bunch of egos, but it's going to be awesome to play a team eight times in 1 year.
See, I think it's great.
It's going to be off the charts. It's like at first when I saw that there was going to be all Canadian division, I was like, oh, this is.
You didn't like it at first.
I didn't like it at first.
And I talked you into it.
The more I thought about it, I was like, all right, sign me up for this.
I think it's going to be off the charts. Good.
Am I gonna miss beating up teams like LA, Arizona, Anaheim, San Jose? Sure.
But Blake, let's think about this. Let's think about it from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, the most entertaining.
If you go look, you know, like let's say you pull up your computer and you're like, all right, let's see who your team, you know, the Canucks or the Flames play this week. And you see, we got two against Montreal.
Buffalo, Carolina.
Yeah. If we use Buffalo, Carolina, you're like, eh. But if you say, oh, we start the week off with a two-game set in Edmonton and finish it with a three-game set in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Are you going to sleep good that week? That's going to be
I don't want to see McDavid five times in 1 week.
But. I know. Maybe, you know what I'm hoping is maybe he's, you know, out or something when we have to play them or something. But,
hopefully he gets COVID in the week.
No, I don't wish that on anybody.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully we get this figured out. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, but yeah, entertainment wise, Battle of Alberta eight times. You look at all the shit that happened last year at the goalie fight and the line brawl. That's
entertaining. Awesome.
And then you got the Cassian Kachuk stuff, and
we're gonna be chasing Pettersson all over the ice for.
You gotta catch him first.
Oh, we'll see. All right, I want a quick rundown of what your projection is for the Canucks this year. Pros are strengths and weaknesses, and then I got three questions for you to wrap up the segment.
You want me to predict their record?
No, I just want you to give me a rundown of their strengths and their weaknesses.
Yeah, you know, a guy for me that this is make or break for him is Jake Virtanen, because they didn't re-sign Toffoli. They bet on Jake Virtanen to be that top six 25 goal guy. He's not going to get 25 and 56. I'm not saying that, but he's got to take the next step. Brock Besser's got to have a better season. He's got to score more than eight goals. This guy's a 30-goal scorer potential. Pettersson will be Pettersson. Horvat will be a two-way monster. Can Demko turn the page here? Like that's the biggest question mark for Vancouver is can Thatcher Demko – I'm not saying he's got to play up to a 0.6 goals against average like he did in the playoffs.
No.
That's unfair to say, but like a 9-10 save percentage and a goals against like 2.4, 2.5, I think he'll take that. Hope he'll be a good mentor for him. Nate Schmidt's going to be a really good add, I think. I think they upgraded on their back end. Quinn Hughes will take that next step, hopefully, into top defenseman in the NHL. And like, can some of these kids in the back end, like, can one of Rafferty, Rathbone, Yolevi, can you get one of those guys to stick and to kind of have a breakout year, right? That's what you hope, that one of those kids can step up. Maybe Hoglander. Did you see that goal he scored on Twitter the other day?
I did.
Something, that kid's got some special talent. They got Podkolzin come over from the KHL towards the end of the year. Like they got some kids coming up Now it's, can they translate that success into the National Hockey League?
That'll be interesting. I think both these teams, for both Calgary and Winnipeg, have a lot of question marks heading into this season.
Winnipeg? Well, come on, buddy.
I said Calgary and Vancouver, I'm sorry. Both have question marks heading into the season, but also have extremely high potential, but also both teams could fall out of the playoffs too. It should be really interesting. Three questions and then I will let you get on with your evening, but who do you hate the most on the Flames' current roster?
Probably, like, I don't hate Tkachuk. I just, like, I don't know. He's a good player. I just hate playing against him. He's a good player, though.
Who do you like and respect on the Flames roster?
Mark Giordano.
Yeah. How do you not?
He's a classy guy. Good player, too. Undrafted free agent. I got a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Last question. With the roster as it sits now, who's a better team going into the season, Calgary or Vancouver?
Probably Calgary, slightly. They had a lot of roster turnover. Like, they added a starting goalie, they added a top four defenseman, they added some depth pieces.
Nine players.
Like, that's a quarter of your roster.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, too.
Now, well, yeah, they haven't had the success in the postseason like they wanted to, so something had to change.
Yep.
And they went out and got their starting goalie that they've been looking for since 2014 when Mika Kiprusoff retired. Check buck there. If Chris Tanev can stay healthy, that's a perfect guy to play with Valimaki. That's a perfect partner for him. If he can stay healthy, he has had his injury problems in the past, which if I was a Flames fan would concern me because I've watched this guy his whole career. He's a warrior. He blocks shots. He's a better Travis Hamonic. That's what I would say. He's a better Travis Hamonic. They both do the same stuff, but there's some times where he blocks a shot and you wince and you're like, oh, I hope he didn't break his leg or I hope he didn't break his ankle because the guy's got no front teeth. Like he lays his body on the line and you respect that as a fan, but it obviously comes with a lot of consequences.
I'm going to keep you for one more second because you mentioned something that sparked a question. Travis Hamonic still remains as a UFA. I read two sources today stating that Calgary and Vancouver are in discussions with him on a $1 million-ish contract 1 year.
Really?
What are your thoughts on Travis Hamonic for 1 year? And does it also scare you a little bit about him opting out? And is that maybe something he would plan to do again? But, you know.
The Canucks sign Travis Hamonic, their defense gets a lot better.
Oh, he makes any team's defense a lot better, doesn't he?
You could slot Travis Hamonic right in with Quinn Hughes. And I think it'd be the same thing as having Tanev there. So, and then you can play Schmidt with Edler. You can play, that creates a bunch of opportunities. He can kill penalties. Yeah, if he's willing to take $1 million.
I don't know. I don't know that he does. I would think it would be higher than that. A lot higher than that.
But if he was willing to take $1 million, I think he would have been signed already.
Yeah, but you know what, Blake?
He wants to be close to home, I understand.
You know what, though, that scares me? If you're a UFA right now, though, like, there's no money. Like, there's no money.
No, I know. There's going to be a lot of veterans that take the vet minimum.
Yeah, just to get a year, and then hopefully the next year that some money frees up for them to re-sign.
You saw a lot of that in the NBA, too. Like, a lot of good players took vet minimum. It's like, wow. Like, because there's no money.
No money.
It's like that in the NHL too.
When I first heard that Hamonic news today, I thought, no way. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, maybe.
It could happen. It's money's tight, but I would be happy if we got Hamonic because it makes our top four a lot better.
Wow. Yep. It's going to be fun this year. The Canadian division is going to be outstanding. And the Flames Canucks rivalry 8 times this year. Oh my gosh. We are going to have some back and forth. And I know you'll be on the show to discuss those matchups. I can guarantee
for
that.
Sure. Absolutely.
As we look forward to that series. Thanks again for joining me, Blake. Enjoy your Christmas with your family. Also check Blake out on the Debate Hockey Podcast alongside of me. We debate every week for an hour about everything happening in the National Hockey League. And you can also check Blake out on Chasing 2, a baseball, Major League Baseball podcast that he does. It's very, very good. Get all you need to know on Major League Baseball from Blake. Yeah, have a great Christmas. Stay safe, stay healthy, and next time we talk, we'll be playing NHL hockey.
Inside Edge Hockey News, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk a little Flames news as we dive into what the Flames are worth. Every year, Forbes comes out with their rankings on what each professional sports franchise is worth and which ones have went up and which ones have went down and kind of where they stand. This is obviously a very interesting year to do this. And I would argue the values of all of these are not accurate because I don't think anybody would give what Forbes is saying the value is right now. With the money these professional teams are standing to lose here in the near future and have lost already. Calgary currently ranks 20th in the Forbes franchise list. Other Canadians teams, Vancouver ranks 10th with a value of $725 million. Edmonton 14th at $550 million. Calgary again 20th at $480 million. Ottawa 26th at $430 million. Winnipeg 27th at $385 million. Yes, Toronto and Montreal are much higher on the list, and I don't think you're surprised. Flames at the World Juniors, and we're going to get to see that tournament kick off in Christmas Day. It usually starts Boxing Day, but this year Christmas Day, just like back in, what was it, 06, the Sidney Crosby, Dion Phaneuf year, the year Canada was just off the charts. The year was in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I was there, and it was wonderful as Crosby versus Ovechkin. Started on Christmas Day, and I remember in Grand Forks it was very, very, very cold. Some snow in the air, and families gathered outside the beautiful Ralph Engelstad Arena opening gifts that day. And unfortunately this year we can't have fans. We can't have people outside Rogers Arena opening gifts, but I'm guessing the action will be fast and furious inside, and hopefully they get to play that tournament without any problems. And Calgary Flames, you'll be able to watch four of them. Two of them for Canada, Connor Zary, Jacob Peltier for Russia, Jan Kuznetsov, and for Team USA, goaltender Dustin Wolf. That's always fun watching those prospects play. And the biggest showcase there is for prospects in hockey. Now on to the in the division section. During this section, during the regular season, we'll talk about happenings throughout the division and what other teams are doing and trades, injuries, anything that will affect how that division plays out. Well, since we don't really know what division we're in, we think the Canadian division now, and I would say with 99.8% certainty that if hockey does come back, we're going to be in that Canadian division for 1 year. And, yeah, it'll be interesting. But with the 2-3 game travel sets, you know, they're talking that it's difficult travel for the Canadian division, and I don't think so. And I also saw reports that fans were saying that the Canadian division is going to be a walk in the park. And I'm like, man, are you looking at these teams and the rivalries and the intensity that this division is going to bring? I think it's going to be off the charts. No one will play outside of their division, whether it be a U.S. division or a Canadian division, to make it fair. And you know what? What will the playoff format look like? Will the top four teams in each division battle it out with the winner of each division going on to the conference finals? I think that's what it'll be. I hope that's what it'll be. That'll guarantee a Canadian team in the final four, and that'll be fun. This Canadian division will probably be a foregone conclusion when this return to play is finalized, and I can't wait to see it. I think this Canadian division thing is a good thing. I know some people maybe disagree with me on that, but I think it's going to be damn hard for the Flames. I do. I think it's going to be really, really hard. But I also think that it's going to be really, really cool to watch and a lot of fun to watch. So I'm excited for that, and I hope you guys are too. On to the listener question or poll of the part of the show. And this week, I usually do a poll or I usually answer a question. But I was reading The Athletic this week, and if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you're missing out. I believe right now they're running a $1.99 a month special too, which is off the charts worth it. I subscribe to The Athletic. I have since the day it started. I love it. That's where I get my best hockey reading from. Every day I browse through it, and yeah, it's a great website. But anyways, Pierre LeBrun put out a poll on December 1st, and he asked, he sent out the poll to a numerous amount of team executives, coaches, scouts. He got 14 responses back. And his question was, how is the Canadian division going to shake out? What will the standings look like? Well, I averaged them all out. Who they think is going to finish first in the Canadian division, by unanimous decision for the most part, Toronto. They ended with a 1.79 average. They had picks as low as one, which they had numerous number ones, and as high as number five. So there's some that aren't believing in Toronto, and I'm one of them. Montreal finished second, which is a huge shocker. 3.14. They were picked as low as two, as high as six. I don't know. I'm yet to believe on this one. The third was Calgary. 3.21. They were picked as high as one. They were picked, high of one four times of the 14, and they were picked as low as six, and they were picked sixth four times. So there were all over the board for Calgary. All over the board. 3.21 average of the 14 polled responses. Edmonton was picked fourth. 3.64, just a little bit behind the Flames. Picked as low as two, as high as six. Vancouver, 4.29. Picked as low as two, as high as six. Kind of a mixed bag here. That, you know what that means. That means his division's going to be up for grabs. Winnipeg picked sixth. 4.93, as low as two, as high as six. Ottawa, seventh. 7.0, they were picked seventh in every single poll, which I probably would agree on. But you know what? We've seen situations where you just don't know. But I would have to agree with that. Some of the comments that people made about the Flames, they say they were picked them number six because they've lacked consistency over the years. How do I argue that? I think they've lacked consistency too. One of the guys that picked him number one said goaltending. When you bring in a guy like Jacob Markstrom, you're solving all the problems. I don't know about that because I don't blame our goaltending to say at all, but I also am on board when you have that solid number one that Jacob Markstrom is going to be for us. That just with the doctor order, not so much for how it happens in net, but what confidence that gives to your guys up front. I think that's the biggest part. Another guy picked him number one, said the improvement in the D. I've looked at our defense from last year, and I've looked at our defense from this year, and I've went back and forth myself in determining whether I think they're better or worse. If anything, I think they're a wash. I think they're younger though, so I think in the long run they're going to be a little bit better. Maybe some growing pains initially, but you know what we got going for us there is that expectations. You know, we looked at our defense on paper the last 3 years and been like, hey, best in the league. Somebody argue with me. Maybe last year was an exception to that, but how do you argue that? Well, we didn't play like we're the best. And now with bringing in Tanev and Valimaki coming into the picture and hopefully praying he stays healthy, I like where this decor is going. I agree with this guy. I think that's going to be a real, real critical part in how the Flames look this year.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about Hot Mic. What is Hot Mic? Hot Mic is a computer program or an app for your phone or your iPad that allows you to watch a game with a group. And this year, I will be hosting a Hot Mic Calgary Flames Game of the Week each week. We'll invite you to get on, It'll be one night a week. We'll be talking Flames. We'll complain. We'll cheer. We'll bitch. We'll get upset when they're playing bad. But we'll talk hockey, and we'll talk about the Flames. And we'll talk and have fun. That's what it's all about. Everything now is interactive. Sadly, we can't be together like we usually are. So, hey, let's do an interactive. And I think the Hot Mic Watch Party is going to be a blast. Fan interaction every single game. Win prizes. I'm going to have prizes. We're going to have contests. Watch for further details on social media. I'll have some further details on the show in the coming weeks. But you're going to have to check out the Hot Mic Game of the Week. It is fun. It's going to be a blast. And you'll see that soon here as we get going for the season. All right. So what lies ahead? Well, it's Christmas next week. We will be on. We will have a show. It might be a little shorter show, but what we're going to talk about next week is we all celebrate Christmas, and we really should, because Christmas is, well, it's the happiest time of year when you're a kid, right? And it's a time to be thankful and really treasure our kids and our families and the relationships we have and our parents, and be close and do what we can this year in a COVID screwy world. Don't forget, though, how important Christmas is. And next week on the show, we're going to talk about what the Flames need for Christmas. What should the Calgary Flames be asking Santa for Christmas? Think about that a little bit. We'll have some interesting answers there. And then we're also going to talk about what gifts should you buy a Calgary Flames fan for Christmas? I love getting stuff. I'm buying Flames stuff, and I'm going to go through some really, really cool gifts to give a Flames fan, and I'll show them to you and give you, let you know where you can get them and how much they are and all that good stuff. Have a great week. Again, make sure you stay safe. Think about your mental health. Take care of yourself. Follow us on social media. Like us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now subscribe to us on YouTube. You got to go to Inside Edge Hockey News there to get it. Or go to flamesunfiltered.com. All the links are there. You know what? And if you want to get us a Christmas gift, if you're feeling sorry for us and you think we need an uplift, we do. You know what we need? We need you to go on and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or give us a thumbs up on YouTube. That helps us every single week move up the charts and get more people listening and cheering for the Calgary Flames. Hopefully we get an announcement this week on where the NHL goes. Hopefully we see a schedule. That'd be a great Christmas gift, wouldn't it? We'll see you next week, Flames fans. Enjoy the week. We'll see you right before Christmas, and I'll be talking Flames hockey again. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.